what you do that defines you.
Conversations with Madonna. Hello, everyone out there in cyberspace. Do you know what today is? Today is actually the 7th of March. We're 1 week into March of 2024. It's crazy times. Time has just sped up. So I just wanted to do a live this morning as an adjunct to yesterday. So I'd start with some music while I drink my water in the morning. Hopefully you're feeling really energized and happy and healthy. But if you're not, probably could be because you've got a crap doctor like me. No, I love my doctor, but yeah, I'm gonna have a talking to her. I did a live yesterday that was about my doctor and about a situation that I had with her. I was having a rant. So for those that watched yesterday's live, I just want to say thank you so much, because what happened was an amazing influx of information from people just all day after that and all night. A lot of people sent me their experiences, which were similar to mine, actually. And other people actually offered solutions for me, which was really lovely. So some people actually were like, hang on a minute, this sounds really similar to what they have been going through. And so sent me some, hopefully, leads to be able to get some more knowledge about what is actually going on for me. And the reason that's so important is because often what's going on for me is mirrored by people around me. So I have had conversations in the last year with people privately who have been telling me that they experience similar things to me. And so I had some information sent to me last night and this morning that it looks like a lot of the stuff that's going on, because people were talking about chemtrails, etc. But there's stuff that doctors just don't know about. They just don't know about. They don't do any. They don't do a lot of time on nutrition. They don't. Their whole, like, and we all know this. Their whole premise for what they're doing. Well, not their whole premise. I'm sure a lot of them go into it because they believe in that Hippocratic oath, which is to do no harm. But you know, it gets corrupted when we get big pharmaceutical who then have a vested interest in them pushing their products, their pharmaceutical products. So I want to talk to you a little bit about that, because the first thing I'll start with is actually one of the things that I spoke about yesterday, which was gaslighting. And then I'm going to move on to the MTHFR gene and what it is, because I actually have the MTHFR gene, which could be the basis problem for all of the stuff that I am actually experiencing. And yet doctors don't know about the MTHFR gene. And if they do, they don't acknowledge that it even is an issue or exists or has the impact on our lives that it actually does. And I know that there's people in this space who actually do have the MTHFR gene. So the first thing I just wanted to touch on was the gaslighting. So I did say, you know, it's like our doctors are gaslighting us. And I've been told I can share this story. I'm not going to give names and major details, because I don't want it. But anyway, I've been given permission. So immediately last night, I got a voice clip from someone in this space who was like, they're absolutely gaslighting us. And here's the thing. We know that, and we know what the agenda is. But often when we have anecdotal information, you know, it's like us. When something comes out in the mainstream that then validates what we've been saying for ages, we're like, see, told you so. So we know that I for sure know that I've been gaslit by doctors and specialists, and there's a whole plethora of people out there who really identified with what I was saying about that being gaslit and told that they've got anxiety or depression rather than the, health practitioner looking into further what it could be that's actually causing whatever's going on. And often it has nothing to do with the person feeling anxious or depressed, but it has to do with some kind of physiological thing going on in their body. And it could even be as, you know, little as just having, you know, things like magnesium, potassium, you know, iron, deficient D3, deficient in your body. It could even be something like that. But this whole thing of, you know, you're anxious, you're depressed, you know, we need to medicate. It always goes to the pharmaceutical medications. So even things like, you know, I've got friends and family who say that they, you know, experience anxiety, but, you know, actually it's situational anxiety, which I talk about with my clients. It's like, do you actually have like this overall broad anxiety around life? Or is it situational anxiety? So when you actually see someone or hear someone's voice or around certain people, then you feel anxious. That is not a thing to be medicated about, in my opinion. That is about learning strategies around dealing with that particular situational anxiety, whether it be, you know, having a discussion with the person or avoiding the thing, or actually like cutting that thing out of your life if it's really a toxic person or situation, right? Even as far as, you know, workplaces can create anxiety, you know, bosses. So it's situational, and people are medicated for stuff like that all the time. You know, depression, one of those things that often when I speak to my clients who have been diagnosed with depression for 30 years, because some doctor just pulled it out of the hat 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago, you've got depression, and they wear that label. And I've talked about this, I've talked about this in my lives before, you know, labels and what that does to us. So, which I'm not going to go into in depth here, but I will be running workshops coming up. I know I keep saying that, but we will be, I will be actually promoting them or talking about them soon, where I can actually deep dive into each one of these situations and give strategies for. But I wanted to talk a little bit about gaslighting, because one of the big things that came out of what I was saying yesterday was people feeling like they'd been gaslit. And actually writing that in the comments. So it was like, yep, you know, this has happened to me. You know, someone actually wrote that they were actually scared to contact their GP and you know, having results that they needed to hear, but, you know, not wanting to contact their general practitioner, you know, being told for years on end. I mean, Tammy wrote yesterday that she'd been misdiagnosed with something for 18 years, which ended up putting her in a wheelchair. So had it actually been dealt with, you know, 18 years earlier, you know, sometimes it can take 1 or 2 years to properly diagnose something. Sometimes it's this, you know, merry-go-round of go to this specialist, go to that specialist, go to that specialist. Sometimes it can take a while, maybe a year or 2 years, because, you know, there's waiting lists and all the rest of it. But imagine if for Tammy, and I feel like I can say this because she's written it publicly, she's always in here saying hello to everyone. But I feel like for Tammy, you know, had have she been diagnosed correctly, even if it had have taken 1 to 2 years to have found out what was actually going on, then that 16 years of actually not dealing with what's going on, dealing with some other symptom or something else, or masking the symptom, I'm not sure in her situation what the doctors have had her doing. However, it ended up in her being, you know, being in a wheelchair, because they don't, once they go off on a tangent of this is what it is, then that's what they pursue. It's almost like if you watch like a crime investigation or NCIS or some kind of show like that, and then they're looking for, you know, the perpetrator or the culprit, and they're totally convinced, you know, the detectives or the prosecution are totally convinced that it's the husband that did it, the wife that did it, the whatever that did it, and they're looking over here misdirected when there's all of this evidence to point to. It could have been, there was DNA evidence, there was something else there, there could have been other people there, do you know what I mean? And so they keep going on what they, their own cognitive dissonance, it's like their own trail, no, it has to be this. And I think I'm using that as an analogy, but it's like with doctors, it's like, no, this is what you have. And they try to convince you of it because it's actually easier for them, just like it is in a crime, you know, scene, or a crime investigation. It's easier quite often to just go what's the most obvious, or even the lie. You know, a lot of people, this isn't a joke. I mean, this happens in real life. A lot of people get wrongly convicted for murders or crimes that happen just because, and this has been proved over and over and over again, because at the time, prosecution decided, well, we just need someone to frame. It's just easier. Let's just get it out of the way and say it's this person, and not look at other evidence. And then years and years and years later, sometimes 20, 30 years later, you know, with DNA testing that came and everything, it's like, hang on a minute, you got the wrong person. And when they actually investigate it, it shows that they didn't, they just went with, oh, well, that was our preconceived idea, our preconceived notion. And so if you transpose that onto what's going on with the doctors, not only do they have sometimes a preconceived notion, you're a woman, you suffer from anxiety, you know, neurotic, you're coming in, you know, because women can go in. Women don't stop. That's the thing. You know, men might be going and, you know, they hate going to the doctors anyway, generally, and will only go on the encouragement of a loved one, usually a woman. But they don't go in as often, and they probably wouldn't go back and back and back like a woman would, to go back and go, hang on a minute, hang on a minute, hang on a minute. And really, because in my experience, what happens is when men don't go back, they have some major catastrophic situation. So it is like they'll end up with a heart attack, or they end up with cancer, or they end up with some kind of catastrophic end to their life. Whereas women will go in and say, I've got these symptoms. And the doctor sends them on this path, like the prosecution. Well, they've got this thing in their head. Well, it's just this, let's medicate you. Let's just solve the problem. It's fucking quicker to solve the problem. But not only is it quicker for them to solve the problem, in my opinion, it's also around, if they've got you on pharmaceuticals, you're a patient for life, because you've got to go back and continue to get prescriptions for that particular drug or medication. And then, of course, those medications have side effects, so they lump you with more and more medications to cover the side effects that are coming from the other medication they've just given you. So you become a patient for life. And then, of course, the pharmaceutical companies, which have a vested interest in making sure that doctors are peddling their drugs, and whilst they are pharmaceutical drugs, they are still drugs. You know, it's this perfect storm of never, for some people, never getting to the bottom of anything, but a lifelong journey into what the fucking hell is going on here, and often leads them on the path to naturopathy or nutritionists or alternative, you know, healthcare people. Because, I mean, oh, it's funny, because people talk to me, I mean, about, you know, they'll say, I go to a shaman or a witch doctor. I mean, it's someone who does, you know, natural herbal medicine, but we just laugh about it, because it's like, how else do you describe these people? They're almost intuits. They're intuitive. They can look at you, tell you what's going wrong. They kind of, you know, they almost, you know, download what's happening and go, yep, you just need to take this, this and that. And then magically you're well. So, you know, there's even that kind of thing where people just go, I just go to my shaman, I just go to my witch doctor. I don't know how to explain them. They're just fucking witch doctor. I've got one of them in my life. Like, I don't really know what he is, but everything he says is fucking real. It comes to fruition. So getting back to the gaslighting, I know I went on a bit of a tangent then there. Please just try and keep up with my mind map this morning as I take a sip of my molasses in water. One of the things good old Spiros told me, he's an amazing, amazing guy, because I'm iron deficient, and he was like, do you know that molasses has everything you need in it? Iron, magnesium, potassium, all of it. And I was like, no. And he's like, well, they feed it to horses. And so I stopped taking my iron tablets, my methylated iron tablets, and started taking the molasses in water every morning. And I've just, it's been amazing. I've so much energy. My face, my whole face cleared up. I don't know if you can see that, but previously, and I don't use filters, so you can see the imperfections, if there are any, and that's what we are. We're imperfect anyway, so why hide it? You know, I ended up with melasma all over my face and acne. Like, I got acne that I've never even had when I was a teenager, and it cleared that up. I went to see my beauty therapist. I love you, Cass Trappett. You are amazing. You are a skin magician is what I call her. She's impeccable. And even, yes, she's like, oh my God, you know, your skin's looking so much brighter and better. And the only thing I added was molasses to my water in the morning. So they give it to horses and they're strong, must be good for us, but it has actually worked. So there's one for you if you're thinking you might want to try something, you know, and you can add it to your diet. In any case, so I got, a woman contacted me last night and this morning, and she said, you know, Madonna, you're so right about the gaslighting. And this was her experience. So about 10 years ago, she said, and she has diabetes. She said a diabetes education specialist told her, had to come out and see her. She had to see them for whatever reason, and told her that she'd suffered from depression. And she was like, I don't suffer from depression. Like, she, and I know her very well. Like, she's not Like, she doesn't have any depressive symptoms that I would consider that she's someone who's depressed at all. And again, long-term depression is different from situational depression. A lot of people think, oh, I feel sad today. Oh my God, I'm depressed. It's different. Like, it's funny that we do that too. People go, I feel really depressed today. Because depressed literally means, it's a word, depressed, almost compressed, depressed, right? So, but it's like, why don't we just say, oh, I'm having a sad day today or a down day today. That's what I do. Like, if I'm having one of those days, I just go, I'm just having a down day today. It's because once you label it, it kind of, that's the label. So people often say, you know, oh, I'm depressed today. Well, not really. It's the human experience to have days where you feel down and up. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's just a human experience. But in any case, the diabetes education specialist told her she suffered from depression. And so she went to her doctor and specifically said, these are her words, I don't mean to put this on you, but are these doctors and specialists like gaslighting people's medical conditions? And the doctor said, well, what do you mean by that? And she said, and so she told her what happened. You know, I had to see these diabetes specialists. They told me I had depression. And the doctor said, you don't have depression. I've been seeing you for 6 years and you don't have depression at all. And so she said, so they're gaslighting me. So that's what they're doing, they're gaslighting. And the doctor said, yes, they actually get paid by Big Pharma to put people in anxiety and depression on anxiety and depression tablets. So they'll tell you you have depression to convince you you have it to go on medication. And this was around 10 years ago. And I have no reason not to believe who told me at all. Like, why would it would be a really cockamamie story, really, if it wasn't true. And I have no reason not to believe her. And I can imagine, and sometimes when you have that collegial relationship or that close relationship, doctors will drop these truth bombs. And here's the thing, I said to her even this morning, like, we all know this happened, but it's like when it gets verified, it's like the doctor actually said to her, this is what's happening. And so when you hear that and you go, yeah, of course this is what's happening. I mean, the Great Awakening is happening now. However, a lot of people have experiences that date back 20, 30 years. And so I'm validating you today. I'm saying it is exactly what you think is happening is happening. They are literally being paid by Big Pharma to push medications onto you. It's that whole, again, like find the perpetrator, find the guilty party. It's like they've got a vested interest in doing it quickly, right? Well, same with Big Pharma. It's like, rather than look for the real culprit, what's really going on in your body, what's really happening for you, they've got a vested interest in getting this. For them, it's Big Pharma, and it's keeping you as a patient for life, which is not, you know, when I think about that, I think about the fact that we have children that are medicated. I spoke to a girlfriend of mine the other day, and she was saying that the school, the actual high school, are telling her she should be putting her son on antidepressants, and he's 12. And she was like, what? So again, the schools now are like, we see these behaviors, these different behaviors. Hang on a minute, what's a really quick fix? Because, you know, a school's got like 1,000, can have up to 1,000 children in it, young people in it. So what's the quick fix? Let's medicate them. And so we would be really naive to think we're not being gaslighted. And from a young age now, because you have babies on medication, babies on full-on medications, you know, toddlers, children, young people. So, you know, they've got not only, I think, a patient for life, but a really dumbed down person. And I don't mean that in the fact that people are literally ignorant or stupid. What I mean is when you've got piles and piles of medication, pharmaceutical medication, any type of drug, when you've got it, doesn't matter if you're drinking excessively, if you're smoking dope excessively, if you're taking anything, do you know what I mean? Like, anything that is to alter the state, right? Doesn't matter if you drink, you know, 3 shots of coffee in a row, it's going to change your experience because all of a sudden you're going to be hyped, you're going to be talking really fast, like, oh my God, my heart. I know someone thought they were having a heart attack. They did 3 short blacks in a row. I was like, you've kickstarted your heart. So anything that, you know, in any kind of excessive amount is going to change your experience and literally dumb you down because you're not open to frequency. You're not open to listening to your intuition. Now, admittedly, I'm not a illicit or pharmaceutical drug taker. However, there would be people that argue, I'm going to give you the other side of the argument, because Bill Hicks, I believe it was Bill Hicks, I think he was the comedian that came out He was an amazing comedian. He actually died of, they say, pancreatic cancer. Other people say he was bumped off because he talked a lot about drugs and doing mushrooms and actually having these amazing experiences whilst on, you know, hallucinogens. You know what I mean? Like different types of hallucinogens. So he spoke about that publicly. He did a skit, I remember, and he goes, you know, they tell you, when I'm paraphrasing, but you can look it up, Bill Hicks, drugs. He said, you know, they tell you that drugs aren't good for you. And he just started laughing. He goes, drugs are fantastic. He goes, they're fucking amazing. And this was his comedy skit. What he was basically saying was, and this was going back to the 80s. I mean, he was really big in the 80s and 90s, but I've been into comedy for a long time, as you can see, because I remember watching him, his stuff back then. And I remember he was really talking about the New World Order. He was talking about what the agenda is. And I think, so there's an opposite to my argument, which is that some, you know, hallucinogens have been used in, you know, ancient tribes and stuff over the eons to be able to open up, you know, your third eye or your pineal gland. And I would not, I mean, I wouldn't do it. I'm too chicken shit. I wouldn't like that experience. I know me. You have to know who you are. If you're a pretty serious person like me, I'm like, I don't want to do that. I wouldn't do that. But I know people who have done, what's that, one that starts with ash, no, it's not ashwagandha, what is it called, something, and you can go to Peru or wherever they go. I've got family members that went and they were like, this is amazing. You know, they go on this drug and it really takes you into yourself. What is it called? You know what I'm talking about? I said the wrong thing. I said the wrong word, but it's a particular, you know, hallucinogen. And it starts with the word ash. Anyway, sorry, I don't know what it is. Can't think of the word. In any case, you know what I'm talking about. I hope you do. Someone will write it here for sure. And yes, that can be amazing. That can be amazing experience, like a one-off experience. But I think that anything that you take for a really, really long amount of time is going, oh, that's the one. I knew it had something. Ayahuasca, fucking totally. Ashwagandha. You know why I've got it on my brain? Because I was reading about it the other day. It's a natural Ayurvedic medicine, actually. So don't get that wrong. Because you might go to like your health food store and see ashwagandha and go, fuck, Madonna said this is a potent hallucinogen. I might get two bottles. Ayahuasca, that's what it is. Thank you. God, I love you. You're all amazing. So when I have my my moments, like my brain fart moments, like I can't get that word. So yeah, I think that, you know, for some people, the opposite argument to me would be that some hallucinogens and some plant-based, mushrooms and whatever and ayahuasca and there are different ones, you know, even marijuana would, you know, can really open you up. You have a different experience, see the world differently. And that's great. But I still think that anything that's taken regularly all the time, even to mask how you're feeling, to mask a void in your life, to mask pain, whatever it is, in my opinion, it stops you from being open to frequency, which is what we need to be open to, right? So I think it's like this really, it's quite layered for me, because it's not only that we have like pharmaceutical giants, which are owned, BlackRock and Vanguard own everything. So it's not just these pharmaceutical giants that have a grip on our doctors. They have a vested interest then in making sure that those pharmaceuticals are being pushed onto us. And the way to do that is gaslighting. So to say, for example, my friend, you know, you're depressed. And she's probably thinking, I'm not fucking depressed. She actually gave me quite a few examples of things that had happened in her life. Well, I haven't got permission to talk about them. I only asked for this one. But what is interesting to me is that everyone doesn't just have one example. Most people have multiple examples in their lives of being, you know, gaslit by the medical model of health, by medical institutions, by specialists or doctors. Not to say that, please don't get me wrong, not to say that, you know, naturopaths and nutritionists don't do the same thing. I'm not saying that they wouldn't gaslight or sometimes get it wrong or have a vested interest in pushing whatever brand they're pushing. Do you know what I mean? So because I know there's an actual brand, because there's a supplement that I used to take that is just magnesium. It's just magnesium powder, but it's brilliant magnesium. It's got a few other trace minerals and it's impeccable. Like, it's one of those things where I was like, if I was going to take magnesium, that's what I want to take. You cannot get it without having to go to a naturopath. And so I rang the supplier and I was like, hey, listen, I just want to get your, it's called Carmex by Nutrigenics, I think it is. In any case, I used to take it for years. It's great at calming the adrenal glands. It's just a really great blend. And we all know not every magnesium, like it's like not every supplement is, you know, a great supplement. You know, if you're going to go get BioGlan or Swiss or whatever, it's usually not the best, not high grade. This one particularly is, works for me anyway. In any case, I rang them and I said, hey, listen, I don't need to see a fucking naturopath. I've been taking it for years, but I've just moved interstate and I don't have the option at the time because of BS19 to do the telehealth and all of that. It was a very busy time and people were confused. They were running around thinking they were going to die. So I couldn't get onto my one in Melbourne. And then I wasn't even going to bother to go to one in Queensland because why do I need, I know that I needed that. And they were like, no. You can either make a consultation with one of our, naturopaths here, or you need to go to a doctor to get your doctor to prescribe it. And I said, are you fucking kidding me? So what kind of bullshit is this grip you've got on the industry? So what they were requiring is that I would either go see a naturopath, which would cost me, at a minimum $80 for the consult. Now it could be even more, that maybe $120. All the prices have gone up, so it could be whatever the cost is. Let's say $100. Just to go, hi, how are you going? I know I need this magnesium. Could you, they'd probably have it on their shelf. Can you give it to me and then pay the $80 or $120 it was for the magnesium? Why would I do that? So anyway, I ended up finding it on eBay. Gotta love eBay. And told them to go jump. Because this is the thing. It's like, why would you restrict that? But what they're doing is servicing the industry. What they're doing, they've got, you know, an allegiance and alliance with these naturopaths and allied healthcare professionals that they're like, oh, no. To be able to get this, they've got to be able to see you, and becomes exclusive. And I really fucking hate that, especially when it comes to something natural. Not that I'm saying, like, natural products can contraindicate stuff. So please don't think that I'm saying go out and get anything that's just natural. Can absolutely contraindicate medication. I was actually talking to someone the other day about this who is on antidepressants and was saying, I was thinking, you know, St. John's wort. And I was like, whoa. While St. John's wort is well known to be a natural alternative, like something that you can take to not feel depressed, it has massive contraindications with certain pharmaceutical medications, one of which is antidepressant medication. So fuck no. So whenever you think, oh, I'm going to take this or take that, you need to really, I would go see a pharmacist. I will just go straight to the pharmacist and say, right, what are the ingredients? Check it out. I want to know if there's any contraindications here, because they actually, doctors don't even know that much. So if you're ever in doubt, you know, really advocate for yourself and do that. So I wanted to talk about that. Oh my God, I'm actually cooking up a roast now. So hot. But also, I just wanted to briefly mention the MTHFR gene, which actually what I might do is do another live on that. I want to read out your comments, and I've just got to see the time. Oh yeah, it's 10 o'clock. I'll read out your comments and I'll think about whether I'm going to do the MTHFR gene, talk about that now, because it's quite a big subject, or I'll do it in another live. Hi, Jono. Good to see you. Hey, I think I saw you. I was up until 1 o'clock in the morning watching one of Laura Nina's lives, which were fascinating. And I think I saw you in there, actually. Good to see you. Hi, Gloria. Good to see you, darling. Thank you so much for joining and all your amazing information. So many people sent me so many information, anecdotal stories, so thank you so much. Hi, Tammy, how you doing, darling? Good to see you. Hi, Naomi, good to see you, darling. Good morning, Judy. Hi, Amber. Naomi says, yes, I feel the same way. It's really interesting, Naomi, like a lot of people, I will talk about a situation as long as it's appropriate to talk about, I will talk about it. Doesn't really matter. I don't, like, taboos don't really matter to me. Whether it's to do with the agenda or mental health or physical health, because it's all intertwined. It's all a jigsaw puzzle. They're all jigsaw puzzle pieces that make an entire picture. So, which is interesting to me, because some people say to me, you know, Madonna, you used to do lives like this, but it's like everything is intertwined. And I feel like, during BS19, I was really, really, really focused on making sure people knew this was not real. This was a hoax, and this is why. And I was going through laughing my ass off at all these stupid articles that were being written, in the end, by AI bots, let's face it. But this is all intertwined. And I think what's happened is there's been a massive fallout after those last couple of years, where people have literally either put on weight, like cortisol weight, you know, around the stomach, like lots and lots of people talk about that. Aged, I've aged, like I've got grey hairs, I never had them before. So age significantly, there's been a real trauma response, regardless of whether you sat in that space in a fear vibration or didn't sit in a fear vibration. It was a really intense time in our world history and in our personal histories, a very intense time. We were losing friends and families and having to fight to be heard and validated and just to go shopping or just to go get food or just to walk down the street or just to have exercise or just to keep a job or just to keep a relationship or just to convince your children that you want them to take this friggin', you know, gene experiment therapy that could possibly and maim or kill them in the imminent future. So it was all of this fight, flight. And we've come to this place where it's this, I think it's kind of a medical and spiritual and psychological awakening, which I'm totally here for because my background is in mental health. And it's so interesting to me that when people watch my mashups, one of the biggest things that people say to me privately, for those who haven't seen them, like a friend of mine is doing, like basically going through, she's amazing, spending hours looking at my lives and then mashing up what I say. The funniest bits normally or putting it together where it's hilarious, basically. And but a lot of people have contacted me saying, oh my God, you know, that laughter got me through that time. And it was intentional. And I said this on the platform back then. I was intentionally making sure that people were laughing and actually increasing the serotonin and dopamine in their brain and endorphins rather than sitting in a fear vibration because I did not feel one iota. I can say that I didn't believe it. I knew it wasn't real. I didn't feel fear. I actually laughed like that time. I mean, I laughed through it and brought everyone along on that journey, hopefully. And so many people talk about, you know, Madonna, you got me through that time because when I was, they were sitting there really, really scared in this fight, flight, freeze, or usually fight, flight, freeze mode. I would come on and I'd piss myself laughing about things that I thought were actually so insane and so unbelievable. And so it could have been the very thing that was on their mind. And I come in and debunk it completely and laugh at it. And so they would laugh along. And so that was actually intentional because my background's in mental health. And so I intentionally made sure that the people in my tribe and who are viewing me would get serotonin and dopamine to the brain, including myself. And that's what people's legacy of me is. So when I come on and actually speak about stuff that's a little bit more serious, they're like, oh, you're not that funny anymore. And it's like, well, some things to me, you know, it's not that I'm going to laugh at what's appropriate to laugh at. Some people find me funny just because of my mannerisms or because of the way I say things. But certainly, Naomi, like when you say I feel the same way, it's really interesting because I feel like there's this collective movement towards, hey, listen, I don't want to be gaslit by, and I don't know exactly what you're saying you'll feel the same way about, but it's this like collective movement towards understanding now, moving and going, right, this purification, mind, body, soul, let's start to purify. And what's, and because now we know, I mean, for people who hadn't been on a journey of being gaslit by doctors and maybe had the good fortune of having really great health, but opening up their eyes to, oh my God, like the system is literally broken and doctors will lie, cheat, do whatever it takes to uphold the system, to uphold the government, to uphold, to keep making money, to stay, keep in their job. They will lie. They will, you know, be paid to literally lie to people about the effects of, you know, the inoculation, tell people they have to wear masks, they can't come in to see them unless they're wearing masks. They adhere, they comply to all of that shit that's not even scientific. So these people who are meant to be of science, the world started to see. So for those of us, maybe like yourself, darling, maybe like me, maybe like, you know, Tammy and Gloria and other people, Marisa, other people have contacted me, and a whole host of other people, Shelley, I think, was saying stuff. People who probably had gone through life and been like, I know I'm being gaslit. This is wrong, you know. But then we all find each other. Do you know what I mean? The awakening happens and then the world gets to see on a world stage, oh, shit, You know what I mean? We've been lied to. I thought you said it was, you know, safe and effective. And these poor people who've taken this inoculation, who, you know, were coerced, extorted, you know, terrorized into taking it, brainwashed, into taking inoculation for their freedoms, let's be quite fucking honest about it. Not a lot of people I know ever took it because they thought that they were going to die of a pathogen. But a lot, some people did, especially elderly. But, you know, they got, you know, extorted into taking it. And now, oh my God, the fallout is this awakening of, oh yeah, shit, doctors will lie to you. Politicians lie. Hello. I mean, you know, when a politician's lying, their mouth's moving. You know, the judicial system lies. They uphold a, you know, system that sits above us. Do you know what I mean? So it's really interesting to me. That's why I wanted to do this live this morning, because I wanted to collate that for you all and just say this is a very common experience that is, you know, being told that our health is less important than the money they're making from a pharmaceutical company, the grip that the pharmaceutical companies have on them. And so I think when you're a doctor in a sea, like, it's just the way it is, it's fait accompli, APRA controls everything they do. Very, very difficult, I think, for some doctors to kind of step out of that and be, sit in their integrity, because it takes a very special person to go against the, current, basically. But, you know, I think any doctor that's like that at the moment would have more patients than ever, because they would be the one who would be actually telling the truth and looking in, taking the time to look at what's going on with people, which is really important. Our health is really important. And especially when you get to your, because people, I mean, who took their health for granted in their 30s, man, and their 20s and 30s? I did. For sure, I could do anything. I was invincible. Then you get to your 40s and you're like, and I was still thought I was invincible. But then you can have a moment, a catalyst that goes, whoa, hold on, wait a minute, let's just recalibrate here. For me, it was a car accident. For some people, it's a major life, you know, upheaval. It could be a divorce. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be an accident. It could be, you know, loss of a job. It could be anything that that recalibrate. Your body just goes, well, hang on a minute, I need to recalibrate here, because, you know, it could trigger something in you that you go, okay, now where do I go from here? And that's the path I'm on, and I've always been on, because when I was diagnosed 15 years ago with fibromyalgia, with what they call fibromyalgia, that was my journey. My journey was 3 years of going to doctors after doctors who just gaslit me and told me I was insane, which I know I'm not. I'm not barking at the moon yet. Hi, Ruby. Hi, Deb. How are you going? Hi, James. Good to see you. Oh, it's evening there. Good to see you, darling. It's morning. It's funny because at 1 o'clock in the morning, I had some of your people in the UK say to me, good morning, Madonna. And I was like, if you only knew, it's 1 o'clock in the morning here. Yes. So Gloria says, mine is medical anxiety. Medical anxiety is really common. And for people to be quite anxious to be able to go to their doctors or go to a specialist. And that is really, really common. I often will say to people, take an advocate with you. And this isn't a new idea. They started talking about this, you know, years ago, like bring a medical advocate in with you, because then you've got someone who can speak on your behalf. Or people hear things differently, especially if you're in a situation where you're feeling anxious. Sometimes you don't even listen to what's going on because you're so anxious. So I do encourage people, if they can, to bring someone with them to the doctor if they're feeling anxious. I know someone who did it the other day, My mum was the medical advocate. Go, mum. She's so good. We're all in this family. Don't think I come from a tree of people who are truthers and really staunch, you know, the doctors are trying to kill us. My grandmother used to say it. My grandmother used to say, no, don't ever take me. I don't want to know. They'll fucking kill. The doctors try and kill you. Back then, my grandmother was born in 1912 or 1918. So, you know, she even used to say it to me. Oh my God, be careful. The doctors will try to kill you. Maybe that's where I get it from. But that was her experience. You know, she would tell me actual experiences of what was going on. She worked in a hospital and she would tell me what was going on. I'd think, yeah. When you get the behind the scenes stuff, it's really interesting. So my mum was a medical advocate for someone the other day, and she rang me. She was like, Madonna, can you believe? I asked the doctor this. I was really angry. I was like, what's going on here? How come you haven't checked this? I was like, good on you, man. That's really, really good. And, And I'm really proud of her for doing that, because my mum's in her 70s and she's really like, you know, she's really staunch in that stuff. Like, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. Like, where's your integrity? You're a doctor, you should be doing this. What about this? What about this? What about that? Good on her. And in the end, the doctor had to capitulate and concede that they had not given all of the information to the person she had gone there, my mum had gone in there with. So, and there was not informed consent about some of the procedures that she was on or taking, or some of the drugs that she was taking, the person that my mum went in with. So, yeah, really interesting. I think medical advocates are great. Hi, Lisa. How are you going, darling? Hi, Alice. Good morning. Good morning, Shell. Good morning, Vicky. Good to see you, darling. Hi, Tammy. Hi, Marie. Good to see you. Danny's in the house. Hi, Heba. Is that what I say? Heba, Heba. Hey, Maria. Good to see you. Okay, here we go. Lisa, I don't trust doctors at all. Logan Hospital did testicular surgery on my then, in 2019, 9-year-old. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. 9-year-old not fix the issue, have been to specialists. Hang on, sorry. And they just don't want to do more. They just want to do more surgery. They just want to do pain management. I feel helpless. Oh, my God. Hold on a second. Rewind. Lisa, I am so sorry. That sounds really quite full on and even possibly quite traumatic for your 9-year-old. Oh, my God, I'm so sorry to hear that. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, and if you want to, reach out to me later if you want to have a chat about what your options might be. But it can feel really helpless and hopeless, especially when it comes to your children. That is really horrific. And I'm so sorry to hear that. And I hate the fact that it's just about pain management, because surely there has to be some other avenue. I've said to doctors before, I've said it to physiotherapists. I mean, I think physiotherapy is a... I've told you this before. I know, and I've got a friend that studied it and I've seen the book of anatomy, but I don't think they do anything. Some people swear by them, I don't. But in any case, I've said it to physios, I've said it to doctors. Listen, if you can't fix the fucking problem, don't be shy. Don't let your ego get in the way. Just tell me, don't waste my fucking time. Just say, Mads, don't know, not sure, let's look at another avenue. Because what a waste of our time. And I feel like with pain management, that's what it's about. It's about saying, hey, listen, there's nothing more we can do here, so manage your pain. But for a child, like, that's a lifetime of managing pain in quite a sensitive area of, you know, your body. That is horrific. I'm so sorry to hear that. And I have to say, one of the reasons I moved back to Victoria is because I could not fucking stand the unhealth system in Queensland. Like, I actually found it to be, for me personally, and it may be other people's experience who live in Queensland, and of course I was North Queensland, so it's a little bit different and rural, but I fucking hated it. So here's the thing. I loved it. I loved being in Queensland. I loved Queensland. Queensland's a beautiful place to live. It's beautiful, sun every day, amazing. But if you need the health system or allied health system, this is how I felt. And again, I lived north and more rural. Good luck with that, kids. Good luck with that. Nah, not going to happen. And I suspect it happens in rural areas, all rural areas of Australia, but goodness gracious. And I remember thinking at the time, it's a way to get people to move into cities, because if you really have a health condition that needs to be managed, right, that you need answers, you need it to be managed. For me, I was in an accident, so I literally needed, like, allied health professionals. I needed care because I wasn't mobile for a while afterwards. Nah, Queensland's not your fucking state. Victoria, although people say, yep, this and that, whatever's going on here, shit, if you need fucking help, you don't have one choice, you've got 10,000 choices just in your local vicinity. It's like, if it's not this one, it's that one, it's not that one, it's this one, it's not this one, it's the other one. You just have choices and choices, and they're, for me, that's how I feel about it. And possibly, like, New South Wales, sorry, it's my dog having a conniption, could be similar, but, like, big cities. And yeah, I couldn't deal with that. Yeah, I'm so sorry you feel that way. I'm so sorry you feel that. It's awful to feel that way. Here we go. Tammy, the more I tried to get doctors to listen, the more psychological therapy and mental health meds I was given. That just riles the shit out of me. Sorry. That really riles me, because I've always rejected them. Come on. Quick. Good boy. Good boy. Come. Sit down. Sorry, I'm just making, because it'll just bark forever. Good boy. There we go. That's better. Sorry about that. he's just come, for anyone that doesn't know, I have a German Shepherd, and he just comes to a click, which is good. Yeah, I'm so sorry about that. That's awful. And I've told this story before about when I before I was diagnosed with having, you know, with actually having a condition that is painful, because that's, fibromyalgia is about, you know, pain neuropathy. It's about sensing your body doesn't like pain anymore. It's like, it's experienced pain differently. It's been my experience of it anyway. And depending on what I actually have, because I don't even know what, you know, they say it's fibromyalgia, but it's a set of symptoms. So who the fuck knows? But in any case, I was just given, I was given pain medication. They just gave me samples all the time. I was told that I was, you know, mentally, I was told that I had depression. I was told that I was depressed and what I was feeling wasn't real. And I was like, no, I'm in pain. I was literally in pain. And so by the end of 3 years, I had this massive tall boy, like massive tall boy in my, so, you know, like a set of drawers, tall boy. And I had filled one drawer full of pharmaceutical medication that I never took, full of it, had everything in there, had Cymbalta, had Zoloft, had fucking shit I don't even know, packets and packs. I never took one. I was like, because I have the courage of my convictions. So for me, I know myself, and I'd already journeyed anyway with the medical model of health, having, you know, endometriosis, and I knew that doctors could be like that. So when they kept telling me that I was, you know, postnatally depressed, I was like, I'm not fucking depressed. I am a naturally gregarious person. Even if I'm like not feeling well, I'm still happy. Like I'll still, you know, I'm a naturally gregarious, and people know that when they call me, they're like, when people call me personally, privately, yeah, I'll be like, hey, how you going, man? I'm naturally quite a happy person. I've always been like that as a young person. When I was young, you know, most, you know, teenagers like want to sleep in. I used to see the sun, be like, oh my God, I'm out, be up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Fucking, oh my God. Like I like life. Life is a really, like, I love life. So for a doctor to tell me when I'm telling them I'm in actual pain, and you've got to understand, you know, you're going to different doctors. So, you know, because you're trialing, you're like, I can't get my answer here, I'm going to go there. So they don't know, and going in, I feel pain, I feel this. Oh, it's just anxiety, it's just depression. And the amount of, I remember about 3 years, like after I'd been diagnosed, I went to a pharmacy up the road from me, and I had a garbage bag, massive garbage bag, just full of tablets. And I said, here you go, dispose of them. I didn't want to throw it in the bin because I thought, what if someone goes through the bin or someone gets it, or, you know, someone, do you know what I mean? I didn't want pharmaceutical products just being, I don't know, put in landfill. So I gave them back to them. I just said, here, take it, dispose. Because it was all expired. But yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad I didn't do that. I'm glad I never took the tablets, because I think I would have been a different person. And also, I mean, my liver probably would have been fucked, my kidneys. I mean, it's a big deal. So, but for a lot of people, they have to take them because what they're experiencing, I mean, even though what I'm experiencing was really, really hard, I have a very strong brain box, mate. Like for me, I'm just one of those people that if I get something in my head, that's the way it's got to be. I'm very stubborn. So if I decide I'm not taking a tablet, it's not fucking going to happen. And that's why I'm very combative. That's why they've got a red dot on my file in hospitals, because I'm very like, I'm, you're not putting that, you know, I'm not going to take that. So I get totally where you're coming from, Tammy. Like I understand totally that, they would have just thrown medication at you, you know, left, right and center. It's just fucking, it's disgraceful. Oh yeah, Lisa says naturopathy is amazing. Yeah, naturopathy is definitely a great alternative. Imagine for a moment that the doctor is treating a beloved family of theirs, how different the investigation of symptoms would be. Absolutely. Absolutely. Or even, yeah, it's absolutely true. That's correct. And like anything, until something affects someone personally or their family members, they don't tend to have a bit of an awakening. And so for me, you know, I know a lot of people share stuff that doctors are saying this and doctors are saying that, especially when it comes to BS19. There's a lot of magically, amazingly, in 2024 and, you know, 2023, it was happening last year, all these doctors are coming out talking about how BS19, well, actually they don't, there's only one doctor who I follow on Instagram, and I'm going to do a live about him. He's really interesting because he totally admits that BS19 doesn't exist. He totally admits it, and he actually goes on to talk about all of the lies that doctors tell. And I've forgotten Callum, Dr. Callum something. But in any case, I find his posts fascinating. But again, I'm like, this awakening that these doctors have, like, where did it all come from? I mean, I don't give doctors quarter, because where the fuck were they in 2020? And I say that, I know people are like, but they were there, but hang on a minute. Like, I'm not your average passive observer of information. In 2020, I was awake 20 hours a day. Like, I literally had about 4 hours sleep a night. And the majority of that 20 hours was literally, like, so when I went to bed, I would always hours and hours and hours. And you've got to remember, TikTok wasn't big back then. The only thing that was on TikTok was nurses and doctors dancing. But it wasn't a vehicle for information like it is now. MeWe, does anyone remember MeWe? Was didn't take off, it was new. Telegram was so new that when I actually published that I had a Telegram channel, no one joined it. Now people ask me, are you on Telegram? Do you have Telegram? Now Telegram's like a major source of information. But back then, even if you had a Telegram channel, it wasn't a big deal. Not many people wanted to get off Facebook. It was a really, really interesting time. So people were really stuck to what they were stuck to. So they didn't want Telegram. And there was a big thing around, you know, who's looking at your information? So, MeWe's, protected, and no Telegram, but they can see everything. It's bullshit. It doesn't matter if it's Telegram or fucking, it doesn't matter whether it's MeWe, it doesn't matter if it's WhatsApp, it doesn't matter what thing you're on. They see it all. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. No one's going to convince me any other way. It's the way it is, right? They're everywhere. It's everywhere. And, but anyway, people are like, Telegram's, what's it called? Encrypted. Yeah, encrypted. Yeah, okay, encrypted. Anyway, what a load of crap that is. But in any case, so people, I was across all the channels, literally, like Instagram. I was looking at everything. And I never once, because I was the one doing lives on this shit, and not once, I remember saying, where are the whistleblowers? Where are the doctors? Where are the nurses? Where are they? Where the fuck are they? And listen, I'm one person. I certainly can't see everything all over the goddamn world. However, it wasn't a big fucking pool. It wasn't a big swimming pool at that time. It wasn't like now where it's like just flooded with information. Back then it was fucking radio silence. I was one of a handful of people literally doing lives in Australia. It was me and Jackie Dundee and bloody Fanos Panayiotis and, Peter Little, and you can name them. I can tell you when certain people came into the platform. Monica Smith didn't start out. She wasn't there until fucking August of 2020. I remember when people were like, have you ever heard of this lady, girl called Monica? I was like, no, it's really weird. Monica can get interviews with Liberal Party members. And I'm like, that's fucking weird, isn't it? I remember thinking back then, that's really strange. But, you know, even like the People's Project didn't start until August, September. Why do I know this stuff? I know it because I was part of it. There was only a select few of us that had the fucking balls to put a face on a phone. Hello? Because at the time, you could be arrested for it. You could be in trouble for it. I remember doing lives and the cops sitting on my driveway. I've seen this a few times in Queensland. And you can see in the lives because my eyes, like, avert. And I look over there and I'm like, oh, okay. And I just keep going. I thought, fuck it, at the time. And they just sat there and they would go. And that happened quite a few times. It happened about 5 times. But, you know, it was a big deal. It was a big fucking deal. People were too scared to put whether they were, you know, with the protests, they didn't want to put them up, like the actual protest advertisements and stuff. A big deal. I used to speak to people who were like, okay, Madonna, this is what we're going to do. Can you pretend to be the admin of my group? Because I don't want people to know that, because I lived in Queensland, so they were like, I was pretty much kind of untouchable. Like Victoria had the worst, what are they called? Like laws against, you know, you could be done for incitement and stuff. Well, in Queensland, they didn't have those laws. It was, you know, cross state borders, like a different country. So they used me in this move. Oh, Madonna, can you actually admin? Can you say it's your group? How many groups did I, I was the face of them and they had nothing to do with me. I was actually like the front person for a Victorian who didn't want to put their face to a fucking phone. So, oh my God, I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to all the fucking things. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. I don't fuck. Because for me, it was where we go one, we go all, let's just obliterate it. Let's just get rid of the fucking TV while we've got the chance now. And now people like send me stuff, Madonna, this doctor. I'm like, fuck that fucking doctor. Fuck that fucking person. Where were they? And I know for some people, I get it, because I'm going to give you two sides of the argument, right? I know for some people, like, well, at least they're coming out now. No, fuck them. That's how I feel about it, because most people have not lived the 8 fucking years in the last 4 years that I lived. If you're only sleeping 4 hours a day, you're literally having 2 years in one, right? I lived it. I was on the phone with people. I was the one that was the recipient of people, whistleblowers coming to me and then saying, I mean, hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of phone conversations to end up going, they don't want me to talk about whatever it was, like the, you know, the holy grail of what could change the whole course of history. And they're like, no, I'm too scared to lose my job. They'll know it's me and blah, 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 blah. And you know how many of those people I spoke to? How many? I still have them come to me now. I still have them come to me now. Madonna, do you know blah, 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 this might happen? Well, why don't you say something about too scared to lose my job? And it annoys me, because here's the thing. So now we've got doctors, and I know I've gone on a different tangent. I don't know who set me off on this, but well done, well done. But here's the thing, like, so now, okay, because of doctors, right? So here's, now we've got doctors coming out. So they will never, apart from this guy, Dr. Calvin, I forgot his surname, but anyway, something. It could be NG, actually, New or something, because I think he's, it could be Dr. Calvin New. Anyway, you know, these doctors come out and they still don't say that there is a pathogen. There's no pathogen. They'll come out and say, oh, did you know so many people died? Do you know that the vaccine does this? Did you know the vaccine does that? Moot point. We fucking know. Who was the one out there saying to people, don't fucking take that, don't fucking take that, don't fucking take that? It was, I know that's going to be in a mashup. I can feel it already. Like, we were the ones screaming it from the rooftops and being told that we were fucking insane, by the way. Again, that was gaslighting of the nth degree with everyone we knew. No, you're insane, you're insane, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're a conspiracy theorist. And all of a sudden, fucking, it, now the doctors come out and go, you know what, I'm a doctor. Come and pay to see me because I have the golden fucking ticket. Tell you that the vaccines aren't fucking good for you. Go and get fucked 10 times over. Fuck them. I just cannot deal with that. And I know there's people in this movement, it's probably people that watch me, that go and listen to these people and cuckoo cachoo for you because I'm a libertarian, do whatever the fuck you want. But for me, I could not go there because I'd be like, excuse me, pick me, pick me. Where the fuck were you in 2020? What were you doing? Oh, pushing the fucking vaccine. And some of them have come out and said, oh, no, I you know, have come out crying. Oh, you know, I pushed the vaccine and then my uncle, partner, Chicho died and now I'm here to say, you know, that it doesn't work. No fucking shit. What you should be coming out and saying, if you're a doctor that's had that happen to you, what you should be coming out and saying is, what I want to come out and say is that I am a fucking idiot. I went along with APRA and whatever, wherever a country you're in, and I knowingly pushed a fucking poison onto people, and now I want to come out and tell you that I am fucking sorry from the bottom to the top of my heart that I did not have the courage of my convictions to come out in 2020 or whenever the fuck, earlier even, and say, hey, listen, don't do this. But as it happens, because I am an asshole, I will only come out now and get you to pay to see me to have my fucking teary 15 minutes of fame moment where I get to tell you that one of my family members died of the jab. That's what they should be coming out and saying. That would actually be contrary to every illusion. They come out in their suits and shit and tell, oh, and you know, I mean, listen, people send me stuff. Don't think I don't watch it. I watch it and then I spontaneously combust and I think to myself, hey, listen, do I have the time and energy to go up against every single one of these people? Probably not, although it just happens to be that it came out today. However, I think about this deeply and it deeply troubles me and deeply upsets me because where were these fucking people? Where were they? There's a member of this space, a person part of this space, beautiful, beautiful person, I know her, lovely person, and put up a GoFundMe for a doctor who's doing some amazing things, who's going out, she knows the doctor personally, happens to be her personal, like, healthcare professional, and the doctor is going to do a court action against APRA because she spoke out, I think, and got, she can't, she got delicensed, right? Although I'd never heard of her back then, I have to admit. But anyway, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure people got de-licensed and things happened that I didn't hear about. Because again, you can't be all over everything as one person. But bloody hell, I tell you what. Again, it wasn't a big platform. It wasn't like there was heaps of people doing stuff. So if someone was speaking about something, it usually like rose to the top. Do you know what I mean? Like it came to the top of the send, or it was on top. It was on everyone's lips. Do you know what I mean? So I never heard about this doctor being but it could have been squashed in the media. Who knows? In any case, my point was, I said to her, listen, that's great, but you know how much doctors earn a year? They earn $1.3 million at a minimum. That's not if they, you know, send you to go get an x-ray or a CT scan or whatever with all their perks. At a minimum, you just do the math. Think about it, right? If a doctor's got 10 minutes with every patient, that's what they've got, 10 to 15 minutes, right? And everyone is Medicared at, say, $90. I think it's $87, but say $90, just as a round figure. And every 10 minutes, they're earning $100. I'm going to round it up because, quite frankly, I can't do maths. But say every 10 minutes, how many fucking minutes are there in an hour? There's 60 minutes. So that's $600 an hour. $600 an hour. How many hours a day does your doctor work? Do you know? They're always there from morning till night, 7 till fucking 7 at night. So if they're doing a 12-hour day, think about that. $600 an hour times that by 12. I don't know how to fucking do maths. And then times that by 7 fucking days a week, or 6 days a week, or 5 days a week. And then times it by 52 fucking weeks of the year, and you'll have your answer. It is astronomical how much doctors get paid. Astronomical to gaslight you and tell you, I don't think it's this, I don't think it's that. Could be fucking anxiety, could be this, could be that. Maybe you can't breathe because whatever, they're making this shit up. And I'm not saying, listen, when you need a prescription, you go in there, listen, I'm fucking dying, give me bloody antibiotics. They have a purpose. But what I'm saying is, to then say, oh, this doctor, can we do a GoFundMe page because she has to do litigate and it's going to cost her upwards of $20,000. Do you know what I actually wrote? And I wasn't meaning to be rude. I was being actually honest, and she didn't take it that way. It was a very lovely discussion. But I said, ask the doctor. I didn't know it was her family doctor, but I said, to sell a Beamer, to sell one of her Mercs, to sell something. She would have known going into having to litigate that it was going to cost her money. And I don't know one poor doctor, not one. I don't know one doctor that doesn't have cars, houses, kids in private fucking education. I don't know one, not one. And I know I've got friends who are doctors, okay? So let's be fucking clear here. I am not going to say poor them, poor them. Never. I can't do it. I mean, some doctors are lovely people. We need them. There's a place for them for acute medical conditions. I understand we need surgery. We need all of that. Some people are going to argue we don't even need that. I'm not going to even go to that extreme. We need doctors. We need them to have integrity, and I will not. So if you're one of those people that sends me fucking doctors, and a lot of people do it, a lot of you do it. Oh, but Madonna, look at this doctor. Look at that doctor. They will never get my seal of approval, apart from fucking Calvin, who I'm actually going to talk about, and I want to see when he started doing his awakening. But they're never going to get my seal of approval. Never. We're talking about a group of people who make profit off people's illness, and they're meant to help them become healthier. And it's an unhealth system. And I'm not saying, again, that doctors don't, a lot of doctors don't try and live up to the Hippocratic Oath. But for a lot of them, it's a hypocritical oath. For a lot of them, it is just, you know, the machine that's working. It's a machine, yeah? So it's this, you know, in, out. And a lot of them probably, feel like they're bound, gagged. A lot of them probably feel that way. Probably a lot of them burnt out. Who the hell knows? Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd hate to be a doctor. Imagine having to know so many things, like a broad range of things. I'd fucking hate it, personally. Ugh, the shit you'd need to see. So, you know, bless them. Bless the doctors, bless the nurses, bless the people, but make sure that they've got integrity. And integrity is not coming out after the fact and going, oh, yeah, we knew that. Well, no shit, Sherlock. They should be coming out and saying, hey, listen, we take off our hats to all the people who were speaking up at the time and had more balls than we did to do it. And we want to say to them, hey, listen, you were fucking right. When's one of them going to come out and say that? When's one of them going to come out and say, oh, and by the way, BS19 doesn't exist. So all this focus on the bloody jab, all this focus on this, you know, inoculation, which everyone knew was going to, well, a lot of people knew it was going to kill people. Why not go back to the original sin? Let's talk about the, you know, terrain theory and germ theory and how you catch a bloody cold and all the rest of it. Tell the people, tell them, go back, say, hey, listen, you were duped into it. because it didn't exist. And that's science. That's what it is. You know what I mean, Jelly Bean? I know it's the rant of the fucking century. Sorry. But in any case, I don't know what triggered that one, but I am hi Jasmina, hi Rosie, hi Margaret. Oh yeah. So Margaret says, I remember when you did a podcast with a couple of cops in the early hours of some morning. Yeah, I've got that podcast. It was so interesting to hear their perspective. Thank you for keeping us sane during Bullshit 19. If you could get those cops back on the podcast, that would be so much appreciated. I did do that. I know who they are, but again, it's interesting because some of those people, they were a mix of people. So they were police officers, some were federal, the AFP in the AFP, lots of people in different positions. It's really interesting. And I think they're all a little bit careful too, but good on them for speaking out. Bart goes, go to a doctor who actually exercises and has a balanced diet and practice what they preach or supposed to preach and practice. Good luck finding one. Look, I had a doctor when I lived in Queensland who was really extremely fit. I mean, he was fit. He looked good for his age. He was 50, but looked amazing. Like, he was the doctor. I remember I didn't know what he looked like when I signed up to see him. I just needed to find a doctor. But, I mean, he was the, you know, he was the quintessential, you know, he was really stunning. He looked after himself. He was 50. He, you know, he actually was the in the emergency department. He ran the emergency department of the local hospital, very knowledgeable. And do you know what? It's really interesting that a lot of people who ended up gravitating towards going to him were truthers. And he used to say to me all the time, he used to show me, Madonna, I've got all this information. They'd give him USBs to say, no, you need to look at this. And he was really interesting because he was really open to looking at everything. And so he's open to taking on board different perspectives. But then he went and got jabbed. And I was like, we need doctors like you. Like, what are you doing? You're going to fucking die. And he just laughed at me. And I thought, oh, well, what do you say? Do you know what I mean? But there are some out there, and I don't know how they get balanced, to be honest, when you're working so much. I'm not sure how they're going to get balance. And also, surely they have mental health issues too. Imagine every day hearing people, I'm sick, I've got this, I've got that. Surely they have stuff going on. Do you know what I mean? I mean, yeah, I know they do. I know for a fact they do. But in any case, I'm going. That's my rant for the morning. I don't even know what time it is anymore. Oh, God, I've been on for a while. So hope you have a beautiful day. I will talk about, I'm going to edit the heading to this because I'm going to do a completely different live talking about the MTHFR gene and doctors and because I've actually got the genetic mutation. And so people like myself experience the world differently because that genetic mutation has certain, complications. It can create certain complications. So I look forward to seeing you in cyberspace soon. Have a beautiful day, people. And, you know, and good on you for sticking by the courage of your convictions all this time, because I know that everyone that views me has, and it wasn't an easy thing to do. And we never ever get, you know, no one ever says to us, hey, listen, you know what? You stood by the courage of your convictions. So it actually, you know what I mean? It means something. You did something in a time that was really difficult, which was to actually stand by what you truly, truly knew and believed to be right and good. And so good on you all. Thanks to all of you who have commented and also reached out to me privately. I really appreciate you all. I remember thinking yesterday, shit, this is what it's all about. Like, this is what it's all about. It's about not just about me talking about stuff, but it's about a tribe that can come together and have collective knowledge and say, hey, listen, here's something I know that maybe you don't know and it could really help you. And the reason I appreciate you so much is because what I will then do is look into it for my own health, but then I will talk about it. So then exponentially, the compound effect is exponential. So I cannot thank you enough, the people that have reached out to me, especially just, you know, wanting me to feel better and, you know, do well, which is a really beautiful thing. So thank you all so very, very much. Have a beautiful day and I'll see you in cyberspace very soon. Ciao. Bye.
It's what you do that defines you.
Conversations. With Madonna. Conversations. With Madonna.
It's what you do that defines